So this morning I want to speak on the leading of the Spirit. And I have a purpose for this. As I look around at evangelical circles, conservative circles, I'm seeing a tremendous new movement, and it's not tremendous in a good way. I think it's tremendous in a bad way. But there's a tremendous movement of people going in a direction of coming under teaching that wants them to seek the immediate leading of the Holy Spirit in everything they do, every significant part of their life. And they won't do anything, not even in obedience to the Bible, without seeking the immediate leading of the Spirit. Now, there's a problem with this. There's a couple problems with this. And I'm going to go into those problems. But I'm going to point this out. If you're looking for the leading of the Spirit, if you're looking to hear an audible voice, and you get one, now you have something that's objective. But how many times in the New Testament or in the Old Testament did men actually hear the audible voice of the Holy Spirit? Not very many. So what these folks are doing when they're trying to encourage people to be looking for the immediate leading of the Holy Spirit in all the significant areas of their life, they're encouraging them to seek promptings of the Holy Spirit that you discern by your feelings, your emotions, your impressions, and your experiences or sensations. Folks, this is subjective. Christianity is objective. Christianity is the revelation of the Word of God given to man, and it tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that offering ourselves a living sacrifice according to the teachings of the Bible and the principles of the Bible and the examples of the Bible, that offering ourselves as a living sacrifice is our reasonable or our rational service. 99.9% of your Christianity is going to boil down to you using your God-given brain that's been renewed by the Word of God and renewed by the Holy Spirit, using your God-given brain to think rationally and reasonably and logically upon the revelation of God in the Holy Bible. And then you're going to make decisions based on what you see in the Word of God. And you're going to compare the Word of God to what's coming at you in life. Whether it's opportunities and you got to decide what's the best opportunity. Whether it's your priorities in life, you're going to judge them according to the Scriptures. Whether it's what you're going to believe, you're going to judge it according to the Scriptures. But what happens is when people go down this path of looking for immediate impressions or leadings or promptings of the Holy Spirit to make all their major life decisions, they are moving away from using God-given reason on the God-given Bible and going to your feelings and your emotions. Now, what's going to happen if you move away from revelation to feelings and emotions? I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen. And you already know. I'm not telling you anything new. You are going to make poor decisions. You're going to make mediocre decisions instead of good decisions. You're going to make bad decisions instead of mediocre decisions. I don't know how many times I've run into Christians that praying like crazy to get the leading of the Lord. And I'm thinking, hold on. Why do you need the leading of the Lord in this? Why do you need extra biblical leading? It's written in the Bible, as plain as the noonday sun. Did you poke your eyes out? Have you never cracked the book? Now, you are going to run into times in your life when you have exhausted human reason on the Scriptures. And it might possibly be that you just don't have enough depth in the Scriptures or breadth in the Scriptures to know what the Bible says on the subject. Or it might be that you actually do know what the Bible says on the subject, but when you've gone as far as you can with human reason in the Word of God, you still don't know what's your best decision in a circumstance. If you come to that point, then it's fine to look to the Lord for guidance above and beyond the Scriptures. And God intended it to be this way. But if you're looking for that guidance when you already have revelation that tells you what to do, then you're undermining the authority of Scripture. Let me give you a couple examples so you understand a little better where I'm going. And I'm going to get deeper into this too and break this down in the Scriptures. The Bible plainly teaches us that the woman whose husband has died is free to marry whomsoever she will, only in the Lord. That's the only condition. Is people get this idea that they need to have a direct word from the Lord who they should marry or who they shouldn't marry. And what does the Bible say? No, you can marry whomsoever you will as long as you make an intelligent, biblical-based decision. This goes for guys too. And when it comes to things like jobs, people who never agonize in prayer over the work of the Lord, people who never agonize in prayer over someone, over family or friends that need to get saved, oh wow, they will agonize in prayer over what town they should move to or what job they should get. Now this to me seems a little convoluted, seems upside down, seems priorities are wrong here. But the fact of the matter is, for the most part, God doesn't care what career track you pick. For the most part, God doesn't care what town you live in. For the most part, God doesn't care which house you buy. As long as you make intelligent decisions based on the principles and teachings of Scripture. If God has a particular circumstances where He has particular will for a particular person, He knows how to write on the wall. He knows how to give you a Macedonian call. He knows how to steer a moving vehicle. Anyway, let me get into this message and walk through the steps. I said that there are several problems with this teaching. The first one is it divides Christians into two camps. There are real Christians who follow the leading of the Spirit, and there are real Christians who don't follow the leading of the Spirit. This is just plain wrong. Romans 8:14 says, as many are led of the Spirit, these are the sons of God. If you are born again, you are led by the Spirit. If you are not led by the Spirit, you are not born again. Now this creates a problem for this teaching that's getting that encourages people to seek some special promptings or leadings of the Spirit on every major aspect of their life. Because what this comes down to is only those people who get those subjective feelings are saved. And everybody else is not saved. Now, that makes me uncomfortable. I can't imagine thinking that way. Well, then how do we go about talking about the leading of the Spirit? We're going to get into that in just a minute. I already mentioned one of the other problems. Christianity is rational and objective. It's not subjective and irrational. The Bible nowhere encourages you to go looking for feelings or impressions or experiences. It encourages you to submit to the revealed will of God. And when people go down this path, it moves them away from wholehearted obedience to the Word of God. Here's another dangerous thing. I got 40 years of watching this. I started out in this whole movement of looking for the feelings and promptings of the Holy Spirit to get your guidance. What this does is it leaves men open to being guided by deceiving spirits that pretend to be the Holy Spirit. Your only guard against deception is the Word of God. It's the Bible. And we need to test our spirits and our promptings and our leadings and our guidings by the revealed will of God in the revealed Word of God. Here's an interesting insight. And you're going to see this when I walk you through the passages on this here in a minute. Even if most of the time you are not consciously aware that you are being led of the Spirit, you are being led by the Spirit. And even if you only rarely ask God for specific direction because you have no idea what to do, and that's only a rare experience, you still are being led by the Spirit of God. Let's walk into what the Bible says about being led of the Spirit. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to read a number of verses here because this is going to walk us through the heart of what the Bible says about the leading of the Spirit. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are on Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. We heard that word this morning, didn't we? For the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, in verse 1 we saw walking according to the flesh and walking according to the Spirit. And this principle follows through in all of the epistles, in fact, all the Bible. The primary evidence that you are following the Spirit is not feelings and impressions on getting direction from God in any particular question you have. The primary evidence is that you are not following the flesh, but you are following the Spirit. The Spirit, in the Spirit, this is the realm of your main choices and purposes in life. And in the realm of the Spirit, we're talking about the realm of the mind and the realm of the revealed revelation of the Word of God. This is where the Spirit is operating. So you're going to be completely overthrowing this principle if you take the focus off following the Spirit instead of following the flesh, and you put the focus on listening to promptings and feelings and emotions. Folks, that is getting too close to the flesh. It always surprised me when I was a young believer, and eventually caused me to walk away, and maybe some of you have also had Pentecostal experience, can identify with this. But as a young believer, I was at first greatly encouraged by all this excitement and all this zeal, and God was talking to these people, and God was working with these people, and God was doing amazing things here, and God was doing amazing things there, and people were getting talked to by the Holy Spirit all day long. And after a while, I stepped back and I looked at this and I said, at first it looked like they had like 10 times more of the Holy Spirit than everybody else did. And you step back and you look at it and you realize, for all this talk about God's leading me, it's not leading them anywhere. Not anywhere important, not anywhere spiritual. And for all this talk about God's doing this and God's doing that, you need a magnifying glass to try and find out what God's doing in their life. You know, in verse 5 here it says, those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. In verse 5 also says, those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. What are the things of the Spirit? The things revealed to us in the Word of God, not the things revealed to us outside the Word of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. This should be our first thing that comes to our mind when we're deciding whether we're being led of the Spirit or whether we're discerning on whether other people are being led of the Spirit. Are they being led in the direction of the flesh? Or in the direction of the Spirit, which is submitting to the revealed will of God in the Word of God. Now we can go to Galatians 5 and read through that chapter too, and I'm not going to take us there to do that at this time, but I'm just going to point out a few things there, and you can put this in your notes, or remember Galatians 5. Because Galatians 5 teaches a very similar thing on the leading of the Spirit. If you walk in the flesh, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The flesh, it says in verse 17 of chapter 5, desires things contrary to the Spirit. The Spirit desires things contrary to the flesh. These things are in contrast. There's tension, there's fighting between them. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, verse 25, let us also walk in the Spirit. Here again, the evidence of being led of the Spirit is walking away from fleshly desires and walking into spiritual desires. God's spiritual desires, God's spiritual commands, God's spiritual gospel, God's spiritual sanctifying influences, the message of God, the whole picture. Here's another interesting point. We point out the Holy Spirit leading is away from the flesh and into the Spirit. There's another aspect here I want you to think about. This is the number two one. The leading of the Spirit is into the Word of God and into truth. Very clearly taught in the Scriptures. Ezekiel 36:27 says, and this was a prophecy, this isn't something that pertains only to the Old Testament saints in the Old Testament times. This section in Ezekiel is a promise of the coming new covenant, which new covenant we already have. We're in the new covenant. It says, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. This is the new covenant. The new covenant is God putting His Holy Spirit in us. Now, typically, the first thing that comes to our mind in the new covenant is the washing of the blood of Christ. And that's very important because justification is a huge part of the new covenant. But the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the regeneration of the Holy Spirit is also a huge part of the new covenant. And you can't talk about the washing of the blood and ignore regeneration any more than you can talk about the regeneration or indwelling and ignore the blood. But today we're focused on the indwelling of the Spirit. And He teaches men the commands of God and helps them to walk in the commands of God. This is the leading of the Spirit. That's the purpose of it. John 16:13 has a similar message. When the Spirit of truth shall come, He will guide you into all truth. And four verses later, in verse 17, we get told what the truth is. Thy word is truth. You put this stuff together, what do we come up with? The Holy Spirit's leading you is going to be evidence because He's leading you deeper into the Word of God. And the proof that you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit is you're becoming more biblical, not less biblical. And you're putting more emphasis on the Word of God, not less emphasis on the Word of God. John 14:26 says, "The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to remembrance everything that I spoke to you." This is going down the same path. John 15:26 says, "The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father will testify of me." This is the third thing. The Holy Spirit's job is to testify of Jesus. So here we got three things. The Holy Spirit leads away from the flesh and into the realm of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, for the second one, leads us deeper into the Word of God. And the third one, the Holy Spirit leads us deeper into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6:17 says, "The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." The Spirit wants to use His sword, which is the Word of God. So He wants you to be adept with His sword, which is the Word of God. Now I'm going to make a couple observations here, and they seem so obvious that you would think we don't need to make these kind of observations. But when you look around, you realize that many people don't even go down this path. Their mind's not even thinking of this. The first one is that the Holy Spirit will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. I don't know how many times over the years I have talked to people in the charismatic and Pentecostal movements that have told me that, "Well, I know the Bible says it's not okay to live with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. But you know, we went and prayed and the Holy Spirit just confirmed to our heart that He was going to give us a special permission in this particular circumstance." Oh, really? You know, looking back, not one of those relationships ever worked out. They went south like almost all fornicating relationships go south. They just fell apart. If you get together because it's convenient and of the flesh, guess what? You're going to come apart when it becomes inconvenient in the flesh. If you were really being led of the Spirit, you would have done things God's way, had a relationship God's way, get married God's way, and stay together God's way. That's how it works. And when people get on that path, guess what? They start doing things God's way. Their whole history might be a whole string of making bad choices and screwing things up and messing up. And they get born again, they get saved, and they get on a path of doing things God's way. Got an ugly past and a beautiful present. I think we all feel that way to some degree. But once we understand that the focus of the leading of the Spirit is leading men away from the flesh and into holiness and leading us into the Word of God and leading us into a deeper relationship with Jesus, then we're able to go to higher ground, walking in the Spirit. But if we're going down this path and we're always looking for promptings and feelings, we're going to have struggle trying to go to higher ground. Because we're trying to stay in the ground of the flesh and the ground of the soul rather than the ground of the Spirit. And when the Lord Jesus is actually leading us through his Holy Spirit, we get the experience of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. This is a blessing that we can enjoy. But here's another aspect of this spiritual leading. We have the typology in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 8. You shall remember all the way in which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you and test you to know what is in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. You start following the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit, according to the Word of God. And he's going to lead you out of Egypt and into the wilderness and on the way to the promised land. For us, it's eternity. For us, it's heaven. And along this path, we're going to be pilgrims and strangers. And on this path, God's going to be testing us. He's going to be testing our heart. Are we hankering for the leeks and onions back in Egypt? Are we hankering for the promised blessings of the promised land? He's going to test us. Are we going to follow his commands or not? Are we going to grumble in the wilderness? Or are we going to be content in the wilderness? The real leading of the Holy Spirit is not a series of feelings and emotions and promptings on temporal questions. The real leading of the Spirit is to keep us on our wilderness journey, not looking back to Egypt, and looking forward to the promised land of eternity. As we go through a string of trials down here that continually test our faith, and test our determination, our spirit-fired, spirit-birthed determination to follow Jesus, even when things go ugly or go south. My next point is simply this. 99%, maybe more, of the leading of the Spirit is simply going to be the teachings and principles and examples of the Bible. It boils down to you offering yourself as a living sacrifice according to the teachings of the Bible and the principles of the Bible and the examples of the Bible. And you are free to make any intelligent, reasonable decision you please. You can take job A or job B. You can marry person A or person B. You know, the biblical pattern is in 1 Corinthians 7:39. She is free to marry whomsoever she wants, only in the Lord. I also like to put Ecclesiastes 9:10 in Colossians 3:23 together. Whatsoever your hands find to do, do it heartily unto the Lord. You want to be an elder? You know, the Bible says, he that desires to be an elder desires a good thing. This is something that's a desire in a man's heart. You desire to be an evangelist. That's a good thing. You have more freedom than you probably realize. What God is looking for is not for people that don't think but follow their impressions and feelings their entire life. He's looking for people that think and that make decisions based on the Word of God. Who you marry, where you live, what job you have, what house you own, what car you buy are all secondary. Most of the time, God really doesn't care. Doesn't care whether you drive a Ford or a Chevy or a Toyota. Doesn't care whether you spend $30,000, $50,000, or $75,000 on a house. Doesn't care if you buy a two-story house or a one-story house or a house without a garage or a house with a garage. Make intelligent decisions based on your budget and your needs. That's what he's looking for. Unless you make brain-dead choices where you're not seeking counsel or wisdom at all from the scriptures or from godly men and godly women, you're probably not going to make huge mistakes using a little bit of wisdom and discretion. God's normal pattern is you making intelligent choices based on the principles and teachings of the Bible. That's his normal way for you to get the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes you are going to come to a place where you have exhausted wisdom. You've gone as far as you can with your knowledge of the scriptures. You've gone as far as you can with your own discernment, and you don't know what you should do. Then pray. By all means, then pray. Get the leading and guidance of the Lord. But you know what you're going to face more often than not? Rather than coming to a place where you have no idea what you should do, you're going to come to a place where you're going forwards, obeying in a general sense, and God is going to give you particular direction. He does do that at times. In Acts chapter 11, Peter was going about his business, and the Spirit told him to go with the men from Caesarea. In Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas were going about their business, and the Spirit communicated to the local church to separate Paul and Barnabas for a particular work. And in Acts chapter 16, Paul and those traveling with him were forbidden to go preach the word in Asia, which is modern Turkey. And then he wouldn't permit them to go to Bithynia, which was nearby. And instead, he sent them to Macedonia. If you are going about following the Lord according to the principles and teachings of Scripture, and your life is purposed to make intelligent decisions based on the teachings of Scripture, you have actually put yourself in a place where if God is actually going to give you something like a Macedonian call, you are in a place to actually hear it and discern it. But if you muddy the waters by continually looking to feelings and emotions and promptings, you are probably going to miss a Macedonian call. Why would God give a Macedonian call to somebody that's unfaithful in their basic call? I don't think he will. Our basic call is to submit to the Word of God. So God still leads outside the Bible. I know a few amazing tales of people who were led into the work of God through amazing direction. But this was always involved in the lives of people whose life and decision-making process revolved around the Word of God. So let me come back, and I'm going to close with bringing us back to the original point. My original point that I was trying to illuminate was that people are looking for promptings and feelings and emotions as the leading of the Holy Spirit. And when you do this, you're going to divide the body of Christ into two groups of people. those that listen to feelings, emotions, and promptings, and those that don't. And I think this is a big mistake. Not only does it divide the body, but when you put people on the path of looking to feelings and emotions and impressions for the leading of the Holy Spirit, you are turning them away from the Word of God as their primary method for getting guidance. And one of the reasons I bring this up is I've just noticed with some of my friends going down a path of they're reading books on revival and reading books on prayer and getting all excited about seeing the Spirit move. And I'm all for seeing revival in the last days. And I'm all for people going deeper into prayer. But I am not all for people going down the subjective path and getting all caught up in feelings and emotions and promptings and impressions. Because what that will do is it will undermine looking to the Bible as our primary authority. It will do it. And it doesn't necessarily do it fast, but it will do it, and it will do it a continual, steady erosion until there's a serious problem there. So just with that, I'll just encourage you to make your primary focus when you're thinking about the leading of the Spirit, that He's going to lead you into the Word of God. He's going to lead you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. And He's going to lead you away from the flesh. Those should be your three main tests. Everything else is rare. I won't say never. Probably everyone in this room has had an occasion or two where they had strong leading from the Lord above and beyond the Word of God in big questions of their life. But that's the rare one. So let's close in prayer. Father, we do pray that You would indeed strengthen us and encourage us in this principle of the primacy of Your Word and the authority of Scripture, and that You use Your Word as the primary means for leading of the Spirit. Father, we do pray that we would not be swayed by some common errors of the day, that we would be strong in You and in Your Word, and that You would strengthen us in the leading of the Spirit, according to Your Word and into Your Word. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.